glad you're here. If you're visiting with us for the first time, well, we want to make you welcome. We're very informal here, as you can tell, so we hope that you feel comfortable and welcome. And there is a guest book back at the back. Well, we'd love for you to just put your name down there and your address so that we'd know that you came and we might have an opportunity to visit with you. In the first chapter of the book of John, I'm going to take a text and depart from it. Much of the time, now Brother Taylor's through, I'll be back in Matthew coming this next month after the mission conference is over. But then he'll get back into Exodus back, I guess, about January. We'll take turns switch around here. I've got a cousin who's going to get up and walk out on me before I get through preaching today, so don't be embarrassed. I'm just letting you know. So it isn't a run for the door. When she walks out, don't the rest of you go, all right? Okay? I know I'm long-winded, but I just wanted you to know that she wasn't leaving just because I was long-winded. Amen. Well, you're quiet this morning. Tommy, say amen.
Amen.
I got one amen. That good fellow all the way from California. You know, he came over from California just to hear me preach this morning. Amen. We're glad you're back. You know, there's a verse beginning at verse 35 of John chapter 1. There's one little phrase in verse 38 that I'd like for you to notice. Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They say unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" And he said, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with them that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Now in verse 38, there's a little phrase. As I said, I'm not really preaching on this text, but that little phrase said what I want to say this morning. What seek ye? Jesus asked them, "What seek ye?" What are you seeking this morning? Some of you just absolutely miserable because you don't have what you're seeking. Isn't that right? When's the time you're happy? When you get what you want. I mean, that right? All of the same way. All right, we're all made out of the same clay. You see a little old kid coming along and he wants a bicycle and he's just so miserable because he doesn't have a bicycle. When he gets the bicycle, he's just happy as can be. It might be a piece of gum. It might be one toy. You go back there in the nursery and keep the nursery for a while and you'll learn something. You'll learn that there on certain days, some toys are more valuable than other days. On certain days, not a kid in the place wants to play with that toy. There may be five of them of the same color, the same make, the same size, all bought by the same person, but there's just one of them that's valuable on a given day because everybody wants that one. One kid has it and every other kid wants it. Now the one that has it, he's happy as can be. And all the rest of them are miserable as can be because they don't have it. Isn't that right? Amen, Brother Kincaid. That's good preaching. Well, I don't know if we haven't got started yet. But that's true. That's human nature. That's human nature. And it hasn't left us when we get 40 years old or 70 years old. I visit each week. I visit different people. I visit all ages. I visit people in the hospital. I visit people in the home. I talk to people on the streets. I meet people all kinds. For 20 years I've been talking to people. You know, it's an amazing thing that when a person has what he wants, he's extremely happy. I don't care. They say the difference between a man and a boy is the price of his toy, and I'll testify to that. My toys have gotten more expensive as the years have gone. I can remember when little things didn't cost very much that made me very happy. But after a while, they get to be more and more expensive to make me happy. In the same way with you. But whatever it may be having your hip healed back together that'll make you happy. It may be getting over a sore throat that'll make you happy. It might be having your kids come for dinner that'll make you happy. It might be putting a marriage back together that'll make you happy. It might be seeing somebody saved that'll make you happy. But what are you seeking that'll make you happy? Well, I want to tell you something today, and the answer is so simple that most of you don't believe it. The answer is Jesus. The answer is God. I don't care what you go after, and I went after everything there is to go after. I don't think there's anything I haven't went after sometime in my life. I believe I went after just about all of it. I tried it. Whatever it is, I've tried it. And I'll tell you, the answer is God. The answer is God. If you're here today and you're not happy, it's because you're not right with God. If your mind does not have a joy and a peace and a victory in the day, it's because you're not right with God. Because the answer is God. Amen. We look back this last year, And so many times we think of different things that we need or we want. And different people say, oh, if we just have more people. Others say, well, no, if we just had some rich people. Oh, if we just had some talented people. Oh, if we just had this or that or the other thing. No, my friend, every one of those things would still be a failure. What you and I need, and all that you and I need, is God. We don't need anything else. Amen. We don't need money if we got God. Remember Jesus walking into the temple? Remember when he walked into the temple? And they decided to tax him, because they didn't know he was the owner of the temple. You know, king's son. And so, he didn't have any money. And Peter didn't have any money. And he said, what are we going to do? He said, well, go out there and take a hook and drop it down. Peter's a fisherman, you know. He said, drop it down in there. And the first fish you take it, well, you pull him one up, there'll be a coin in his mouth. You see, if you got God with you, you don't have to worry about the money. The fish got the money. You see? All you got to do is go fishing. Jesus said, I'll make you a fisher of men. I sometimes fish for fish, and sometimes I fish for men. And there are just certain Fridays out of October and out of March that I go fishing for fish. There are other times throughout the year I go fishing for men. But you see, the money's in the fish's mouth. All you need is God. You're in the middle of a storm, and it's a tremendous storm out across the lake of Gennesaret, and they're crossing it, and you know, they're in real trouble. These are expert fishermen. They know how to handle the water. They know where to go and how to do it. And they're afraid. Oh, how they want calm. How they want somebody to take care of them. How they want something to still the storm. And Jesus comes walking across the water to them. He gets them the boat. All they needed was God. Amen? There's a man named Nicodemus. He's wealthy. He's honorable. He's recognized by his nation and by other nations as a great man. He's a great man in history. His name has come down through us as an honest man, a just man, a good man, and one of the leading teachers of all Israel. But you know what he needed? All those things that he had, and he was still afraid. You know what he needed? He needed God. That's what he needed. He needed Christ. And I'll tell you today, in every situation you get into, what you need is God. You don't need anything else. You may think you need money today, but you don't need money. You need God. If you got God, he'll take care of the money. You may think you need better clothes today, but you don't need better clothes. What you need is God in your life. You may think that if I just had a better house or better circumstances or a better job, then I would be happy. But that's not true. Because I can take you to the homes of those that have better houses, better circumstances, better jobs, everything else, and they're not happy. You see, the answer is always God. And if you and I would ever recognize what the saints of God in time past have recognized and made them great, it's that God is all that you need. I don't have 100 people to please this morning. I don't have 30 people to please this morning. Now, a lot of people have a hard time. They have a hard time because they never recognize their source and they never recognize their authority. I don't have to please you. You don't have to like me. And there are days when I'm honored enough, I don't care whether you like me or not. I'm terrible. And the other days, I'm sad because you don't. You know, it's a miserable contradiction. But you know something? I got one fellow to please, and that's God. Now, if I please God, it doesn't matter whether you like me or not. If you run me off, you might have a hard time doing that. But if you did, it doesn't matter. You see, what matters is God. One man with God. Look at the three children of Israel as they're cast into the fiery furnace. They thought they needed something else. Everybody around thought they needed something else. They dropped them down in the middle of the furnace, and there was a fourth man in the fire. They had God. They didn't need anything else but God. Look at Daniel. Now, Daniel had wealth, and Daniel had political power. Daniel had respect. He had everything that a man could ask for, except that he was a eunuch and didn't have a wife or a family. But at any rate, he had all that a man might seek for as far as this world is concerned, all that he really desired. He prayed to God every day. They signed a decree that said, we'll get old Daniel. We'll get old Daniel. And they signed a decree that if any man prayed to anyone but the king for anything for 30 days, he'd be cast into a den of lions. Well, Daniel got down and prayed just like he'd been praying all along. You know what Daniel said? Daniel said, all I need is God. I'm going to get right with God and everything else is going to make it all right.
He got on his knees, he prayed toward Jerusalem with his windows open as he prayed all along. What happened? Well, sure enough, they picked it up and put him in the jail cell and brought him before the judge. And I mean, everybody else was trembling. I'm sure Daniel had some thoughts of it. But he overcame them by faith. And he put him down in that lion's den. Now, what did Daniel need? Did he need a change of the law? No, he didn't need a change of the law. Did he need some help from some influential people in power? No, he didn't need any help from influential people in power. The king couldn't even help him. You know what Daniel needed? He needed God. That's all he needed. Now, understand me, the only thing you need and the only person you need is God. Because with God, every need is met. Because whether you like it or not, or understand it or not, God is your only source. And you see, most of us think different than that. Missionaries begin to think, well, now, brother so-and-so and such a congregation is a source of income for me. He's on the mission field. And write your letter and say, thank you for the $10, or thank you for the $50, or thank you for the $100 that helps keep me there. And in a sense, that's true. You are a secondary source to keep a missionary on the mission field. Well, let me tell you something, friend. Missionary and preacher, whoever you may be, God's your only source. You think the United States Army or the United States Air Force is your source? No, no, my friend, I'll tell you what. You're wearing that beautiful blue back there. I wore that for 3 years, 3 months, 10 days, and I'm going to give you the hours, minutes, and seconds. But I was happy when I got out. Some of y'all are professional men. Praise the Lord for you. I'm glad you're there. I guess you're glad I'm here instead of there, too. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, your source is not the Air Force. Your source is God. Your source is not your job. Your source is not your mother and father. The true source that you have is God. Because I can take you to example after example that when the father and mother cast them off, God took them up. I can take you to example where when the government put them down and people lost their jobs and lost everything, but they took a stand for God and they lost it because of it, God intervened and came in and took over. If you recognize your primary source, you'll realize you don't have but one person to pray. You understand that? If you ever get that into your head, it'll make you awful haughty in some conditions. Make you humble before God. Might make you sound proud to man. But I'll tell you one thing, my friend. God's your only source. He's the only need that you have. Now let me tell you something else that you can look at. You ever seen a time when you didn't have very much revival? See a time when not enough money came in to pay the bills? See the time when not enough missionaries were supported or you wanted to do more for God? Oh, we've seen that time. My, have we seen that time. And we think we need this, and we need this, and we need this, and we need this. No, my friend, we don't need any of that. You see, the missing element is not the money, nor the manpower, nor the leadership. The missing element is God in His presence and blessing. You see, what you and I need today is not what we can get on our own, or what we can do by ourselves, or what we can collectively get on our own or do. What you and I need today and the way we need to walk every day of the rest of our life is in fellowship with God Almighty. That's revival. Revival isn't 15 people walking an aisle getting saved, being baptized. Praise God for it. I'm happy for that. But that's not a revival. I was a full-time evangelist for too long. I'll guarantee you can have a lot of people saved not having a revival. And you can have a revival and not have too many people saved at that given time. But all the results of that revival will keep on going for a long time to come if you ever get a real revival with God. You see, God is the missing element, and some of you today don't realize what's the missing thing in your life. But let me tell you, the missing element in your life is God. You say, but I'm saved, I'm born again. Praise God, God can still be missing in your life. You can be saved and born again. Brother Taylor was saved and born again. Had been a fine teacher of the Word of God and preacher of the Word of God years ago. We worked together 15 years ago, I guess it was, brother. And then discouragement and defeat and things whipped him until he was sitting at home doing that. He wasn't happy. He was absolutely miserable. Some of you heard his testimony. He wasn't happy. What was missing? God.
God and His blessing, God and His presence is what was missing. And that's what's missing in some of your lives this morning. It's God.
I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not saying you've never been born again. I'm not saying that you're out living in adultery. I'm not saying that you're out robbing banks. I'm telling you that you're not walking in fellowship with God Almighty.
And because of that, you don't have any revival. And no real joy within your life. There's no victory there. Because you put everything else first. You put the television as number one. You put your job as number two or number one, somewhere along in there. You put everything ahead of God, and God's got to be number one. Because you see, the greatest need of your life is to walk with God. Everything else is met once we walk with God. Now that other thing that you and I will ever have a problem with is we'll ever really walk with God. That's our big problem. Oh, I guarantee you'll meet difficulty after difficulty. You'll meet challenge after challenge. Your faith will be tested. You will be hit hard one way or another. But I'll tell you, the only person you need and the only thing you need is God Almighty within your life. Now, what are you seeking today? What do you really want?
Would you like to have peace and contentment, joy? Would you like to have victory? Well, I'll tell you, the victory place is walking in fellowship with God. Some of you haven't spent any time on your knees this week. Not any time.
Some of you haven't opened your Bibles this week. Not a time. And if you have, you've opened them for one little verse here or there, and you were bored to death and went back to the television or whatever else you might have wanted to do. And then you come down to the end of the week and you say, I'm miserable. I just don't feel very good. You know, Christianity's sure hard a life to live. Nobody's happy. You know, and I sure don't like the way he does this. I don't like the way she does that. And I tell you,
huh? That right? Yeah, I believe I read your mail. I believe that's true. I believe that's true.
Some of you, I'm not talking about all of you, some of you are absolutely miserable today. This has been a week that's been a waste. You haven't had the joy and the victory you ought to have had in it. You haven't walked with a spring in your step and joy in your heart with a testimony of Jesus upon your lips. You've been defeated at your work. Your testimony has been shut up. The enemy's run over you, and the devil has ground your nose into the ground.
And the reason is not these 14 other things that you want to list out. The reason is God. You're not in fellowship with God.
It's been so long since you got on your knees and repented.
One of the greatest evangelists of all time was Charles Finney. He wrote a book called Revival Lectures. You ought to read it sometimes. A very hard book. He wasn't a very easy man. A very hard book. Very harsh.
But what he has to say in it is very, very true. One thing that was made, a statement that was made that always struck with me, that any man that ever walks in continual revival has to be broken every two or three days.
Now that's me.
I get revived one given day like you do. We have a tremendous service, or the Lord blesses in some way, or I get a hold of God in prayer and revival fills my soul. There's joy there, and there's peace there, and there's power there, and there's victory there. There's answer to prayer there, and I get up and I walk and I think, well, now I got it made from here on in. Don't ever have to worry about it anymore. Well, you know, God, I'm sure glad we got that taken care of and that's been settled back there. Now I can get about the business. And in a week, I'm thinking, well, you know, I don't have as much energy as I had last week. And about 2 weeks, I'm feeling the world's pretty rotten. You know, really, things are getting awful bad. And about 3 weeks to a month, I say, what's happened? What's happened? I'll tell you what's happened.
You didn't get rebroken. You didn't get a hold of God. You didn't come back and seek the Lord with all your heart.
Too many of you spent too much time doing everything else but the number one business you ought to be in, seeking God. I don't care where you are. You say, well, you can't live for God where I am. That's a lie. I can prove to you from this word right here that men have lived for God under every circumstance possible. Some of them, it cost them tremendously. They didn't matter the cost because they wanted to be with God no matter what the price. And I tell you, my friend, it's not by might nor by power, according to Zechariah. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts.
Oh, I tell you what could be done. I look back at what was done this year, and I rejoice in it. I rejoice in what has been done this last year.
You know, when we begin to count our blessings, and we begin to see what God has done and what God can do, what God would do, and what God will do, you understand it's not by might. You see, because the mighty men fall. By the way, I've seen some mighty men fall flat on their faces. What about power? Oh, yes, I've seen some powerful men fall. I've seen a few of them fall this very year. I've seen good men drop like flies. By the grace of God, I'm not very good, but I'm still going. I don't know what I'll be doing next week. I don't make any promises what I'll be doing next week, but by the grace of God, I'm still going today. I've been going 20 years. When I first got saved, they told me, said, it'll last about 2 weeks. You've got a good dose of religion. It'll wear off. Give it a couple of weeks, let them. It'll wear off. You know, something hadn't worn off yet. It's worn thin a few times, but it hadn't completely worn off. When it starts getting real thin, it's like that big old, I got 11-foot cast net. And it takes a man to throw that for very long, I'll tell you for sure. Big old heavy net, and go out there and cast that thing. Well, you know, it goes in that ocean, that sand comes up against it, and before long, it begins to wear thin. You know what you got to do to that? You got to take it back out just ever so often and drop it down into a bucket that's half filled with varnish and coal. And you drop that down in that bucket of varnish and coal oil and dip it 2 or 3 times and yank it out and spread it out. She's good for another year. She's good for another year because it's got another coating or something that'll protect it. Well, you see, sometimes the Spirit of the Lord that's on us seems to wear thin. Sometimes that which helps us have a little bit of power helps us withstand criticism or failure or disappointment within this life in order to do the will of God and the work of God, sort of wears thin. Sometimes the revival fires that we've gotten a hold of God and God's done something for us, after a while it sort of wears thin. We need to be dipped again. We need to be washed again. We need to be broken again. We need to be cleansed again. It's not by might nor by power. It's by the Spirit of God. It's God Almighty that makes the difference. God's going to make the difference in your life, whether it amounts to anything this week or next week, or you ever amount to anything. Some of you revived last year. Some of you last year were walking in the Spirit of God with power, winning souls, with some victory. You weren't around murmuring and complaining and criticizing, and now then all you can do is just murmur and complain and criticize. What happened? Well, I'll tell you, it wore thin. You need another dipping. You need another good dose. You need to get on your knees and get broken before God. You need to come back to realize it's not by the experience I've gained. It's not by the power that I can muster. It's not by the might that I might have, by whatever means it might be to hinder. It's by the Spirit of God. That what I need is fellowship with God today. I don't need anything else. I don't need anything else. And you don't need anything else either. I tell you today, my dear brother and sister, it's God that we need. All you need is God within your life, in His blessing, in His fellowship, to walk with Him this day, this week, and let God do as He pleases with your life and not worry about anything else. You see, the missing element's God. There may be the preaching of the gospel with all the eloquence and power and wisdom and right doctrine that you could give it. There may be the gathering of believers to hear that word. There may be the lost people coming in to hear the word and be saved. But I'll tell you, the missing element's God. God's what makes the difference. God's what turns a life around and changes it where to win 1,000 souls for Jesus Christ. God's what gets a hold of somebody by faith. And they say, I gave $2,000 last year and I'll give $5,000 this next year by the grace of God. God gets a hold of people by faith. God gets a hold of a man. He says, I'll be a testimony if I lose my job. I'll be a testimony if I lose my family. I'll be a testimony by the grace of God. I'm going to take a stand. Here I stand. I can do no other. It's God that gets a hold of a man. And it makes all the difference in the world. Another man may take his stand and fall flat on his face in a week's time. But when God gets a hold of a man, and that's what you need is God. The only thing really missing in any life that's here today is God. God in whatever area it might be. You may be here and lost, my friend, and you think you need this or that or the other thing. You don't need a lot of religion. You probably got too much of that already. All you need is Jesus. You need Jesus in your heart. I remember as I fell on my knees in Roswell, New Mexico, a little over 20 years ago, in the front bedroom of a trailer house sometime around 11 o'clock at night. I'd heard in my life that if I ever got serious and meant business with God and got on my knees and called on Jesus, that I'd get saved, and I did.
Now, a lot of you got religion. I had religion 10 years before I got saved. But when he saved me, he changed. Have you ever been changed? Ain't ever been changed. Chances are you haven't been saved. You see, where Jesus comes in, he does something. He changes things. The missing element in most religion that you're going to find anywhere, even that calls it same self-Christianity, is God. God's missing.
God's the thing that's left out. God's the one that's been ignored. The pastor hasn't been ignored. The church hasn't been ignored. The baptistry hasn't been ignored. The offerings haven't been ignored. God's been ignored.
So many marriages breaking up today, falling apart, falling flat on their faces, and little old kids suffering for it, the whole nation suffering for it. Not just lost people, I'm talking about born-again saved believers. You know what the missing element in that home is?
God! God's the missing element in that home. You say, well, they're both saved.
That don't make any difference. God's the missing thing. You get right with God, and both of you get right with God, you'll build something to glorify His name. You know the problem is? We get too stubborn. I don't want God. I don't want God.
There's church after church around, and the missing element's God. Oh, they got everything. Everything but God's blessing. Everything but God's power. Everything but God's Spirit. And the one thing missing is God. God is the missing element.
Oh, how it dawned on me again this week. And I prayed this week. The only thing that I need, and the only thing that you need, and the only thing we're ever going to need is God. That's all.
God is my source of every supply,
no matter what one may do here or one may do there. At the first of this year, or the last of last year, I made a commitment of what I wanted to do for missions. In the year. At the first of last year, my offerings were good, abundant. I praise the Lord. Towards the last of last year, my offerings sort of dropped out, and I said, what happened? And I had an abundant first of the year, and I had a tight stretch the last of the year. And I didn't think I'd make it. I told my wife, I said, you hit the books. I just want to see where I stand with what I promised God. That if He'd give it to me, I'd give it. Well, I made it. And I went above it. And I didn't even know it. I thought, God, if this is left and that is left and the money's gone, how am I going to do it? But I did it. I did it. By the grace of God, it was done. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That put tears in my eyes and rejoiced my heart. I say to you sincerely, you don't need anybody or anything but God. If you walk with God and you make God your source of supply and God the power of your life, no matter what comes your way, no matter how you may be hit one way or another, God will bring you through. He has through the ages past, and He hasn't changed one bit. And I'm going to tell you today, my friend, God's what you need. You know what you need? You need to spend some time with God. I don't think that's the preacher's job. That's his job. That's you, Brother Taylor, and some of you missionaries, y'all get on your knees and spend some time with God. No, my friend, you need it in your job just like I need it in mine. Brother Luke needs to get out and pray every morning and get a hold of God before he goes to carpentry. Gene needs to get a hold of God before he ever touches a wrench. Eddie needs to get a hold of God before he ever walks through the college door. Nick needs to get a hold of God before he ever touches that reaper. Linda needs to get a hold of God before she ever walks in a classroom. The mothers need to get a hold of God before the children ever get out of the bed. The missing element's God. I want you to understand that God Almighty can do anything, anytime, any place, and He is not limited by your limitations. He is not limited by your obstinacy or your stubbornness. God is not limited by the resources you think you have available to you. God is not limited. 20 years in my life, God's proved that to me. Somewhere a long time back, God made me see that what I needed was God. I might please anybody but Him. You say, well, I don't like you. Well, join a club. A whole lot of people don't. I mean, you're not by yourself. I'm ugly. I'm mean, stubborn, and a few other things like that. Now, Brother Taylor, he's sweet. You can like him. See, so if you don't like me, you can come because you like him. But understand me, I am what God made me. Oh. You mean God made you like your... Yes, sir. I tell you, God made me. I didn't choose to be born. I didn't choose the personality I got. I didn't choose my good qualities or my bad ones. I'll tell you the honest truth. I didn't choose where I was going to go to school. I didn't choose my parents. I'll guarantee you, my sister's just sweet as can be, and I'm mean as can be. They had the same mother and the same daddy. But God called me. And He called me for a specific work at a specific time in a specific place, maybe to reach one person, two persons, 10 people, 100 people, or to do a work for God wherever He wants me, whatever place that might be. And He's... Now that's the same with you. That's the same with you. You missionaries going out to the mission field, everybody's going to tell you how to do it. They're going to tell you you've got to have a board to back you. They're going to tell you you've got to have so much money laid up behind you. They're going to tell you you can't make it unless you do it their way. That's a lie. You know what you need? You just need God. Now you find the will of God for your life. Whatever that might be, you find that will of God for your life and you get into it with everything you've got. Don't let anybody turn you aside. Because you see, it's not by might, nor by power. It's not by the resources of mankind. It's by God. And I tell you, the only thing we need in the mission conference coming up is God. You say, we don't have enough money to send the missionaries out. We're sending. That's right. Look around you today. You think there's a whole lot of money sitting here? There isn't. I'm the only rich person here. All the rest of y'all poor people. I'm just not a rich person here. There aren't any rich people here. We're all just common folk. You think God came to us? Why don't you try a prayer? Why don't you try praying? Do you believe God can answer a prayer for money? Anybody seen this building? It's not too fancy. But it's paid for. We started praying for money. We didn't have any money. We started praying money for a building. In 2 months' time, we had $15,000 in the bank. We started a foundation, built a building. And by the time we got the walls up, she was paid for. Everything was bought by cash and paid cash on the line. You think God can't answer prayers? You're getting His will and praying His will and think God can't answer prayers? You say, I can't give any more missions than I did last year. That's a lie. You and I both know you'd give a lot more. I could have given money. I went fishing with them. Sure. You could too. It's not a matter of what you can't do. It's a matter of what you want to do. What could God do through you? Let me tell you something. If God can do through me, then God can do through you. And if God can do through someone else over here, then God can do through you. Do you mean that God is partial and He'll only answer somebody else's prayer that He won't answer yours? Try God. Why don't you get on your knees and get a hold of God and say, God, what would you have me to do? Some of you already made up your mind, well, you know, I don't have time to come to the mission conference next week. You know, that's 2 whole weeks of coming every night. That's our time. The kids will get bad grades in school. I'd rather mine got bad grades in school and got good grades with Jesus. I'd rather mine learn what it was to put the gospel out than anything else I know. And I'm a school teacher with a master's degree. But I'd rather my kids got good grades with Jesus. I'd rather my children be called to the mission field and to preach the gospel than to make all A's. I'd rather my children learn the Word of God, learn how to pray for missionaries, and learn how to, at a very young age, to give that which they have into the hands of God. I tell you what, the possibility in this room right here are so vast, they're beyond your imagination. You see, you and I look around, and I look and I say, well, now,
What's old red-headed Steve going to give? Well, he's just a little old service man sitting out here drawing a pittance. More money than I give, you know.
What in the world's old Steve going to give? Huh? Could he give anything to missions this year?
Well, I tell you what. One young man came out of this church and took on off, and he's in Ohio or Iowa somewhere up there right now. Got a check for $900 this month designated missions. Came from a sergeant. What could you do? What could you do? Oh, you could do a whole lot more than you've ever done.
Well, what if you've done all you could do?
Well, then you could pray.
And God could do a whole lot more than you could do. Did you ever think about that? You see, the missing element is God. It's not anything else. You could pray. You say, well, I don't have enough money to give. You were willing to give it. God Almighty provided the money. You say, well, God can't do that. Well, He did. And He has. And He will.
You see, doing the work of God and having a revival is not dependent upon the resources that you see with your eyes. Over and over and over, the testimony of the Word of God is, you've got to look by faith. You've got to look by faith. You cannot look by just the sight of your eyes. It's not by might. It's not by numbers. The greatest works that have been done by a few people with faith who stepped out on God, and God did it through them. I tell you, no matter how discouraged you may be, and no matter how down you may be, and I have been, I'll get down and I'll begin to look around and I'll begin to think about this, and I'll begin to badmouth myself and badmouth the world and badmouth everything under the sun, and then I get repentant and I get right and I get back to God and I get into His Word, and He says, no, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by My Spirit. You see, everything you seek the answer for, it's God. Everything you want to do. There's a verse in Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23 that says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Isn't that what everybody wants? Isn't that what everybody wants? I visited a home about 2 weeks ago, and everything they could think about and talk about was money. How are we going to do this? And how are we going to do that? The kids are literally gone to hell. What a tragedy. That's what everybody wants. Let me tell you something, friend. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, I am the Lord. God is a sovereign God, Nick. He is not bound by your limitations. God is a sovereign God. He has all power. He has all wisdom. There is nothing that can withhold His hand. He can bless at any time and at any place. And it's His pleasure to do so to those who believe by faith. It is His pleasure. Over in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16, there was a prayer prayed by the Apostle Paul for some believers. He said that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. I want you to understand today, some of you are here with physical afflictions and problems of the body that hinder you from doing the things other people do. And every year I get older, I realize that I'm getting more and more afflicted as time goes on. I'm sure, as Velma tells me, after you get 70, every year is like a decade before. I don't know, but I haven't reached there yet. But if it's like a decade, then it's going to be a disaster every year I go. We see physical afflictions coming upon us. I mean, my eyes aren't as good as they used to be, and these glasses aren't as good as they were when I got them. I used to play football with the boys. I gave that up. My boys got too big, tough, mean, ugly too. Oh, listen to me. Listen to me. You know where I want strength? You know where I want it? In the inner man. That's what I want. You know where I fail most often? In the inner man. My biggest problems are not physical. My biggest problems are spiritual. My greatest need is not physical. My greatest need is spiritual. I need God's blessing presence to fill my inner man. That's what I need. You know what I believe? I believe you do too. I believe you to be strengthened with might. Might. You hear that word? Daddy? Might. In the inner man. You need some muscle. Spiritual muscle. You need some backbone. Spiritual backbone. You need an inner man that though the outward man may be with you, don't give up. And you get a hold of God. And then you do what God can do through you, not what you can do. There are too many of us that walk by sight of what I can do. What we can do. And you put it down on the figures and you add it up and it makes good business and it makes good sense. But you see, you and I aren't in the business of what I can do and what you can do. We're in the business of what God can do. My marriage was a wreck at one time. But I went to the Word of God. And God built me a beautiful marriage. For the first 7 years we were married, it wasn't too pleasant. After the honeymoon was over, first couple of years, we fought like cats and dogs. My wife looked so meek and mild, but she's a strong-willed woman. I guarantee you. But when God got a hold of me and her, God said, "This is the way, walk ye it." And we began to walk, haltingly, failingly. We're going on 23 years. And I'll tell you, the last 15, 16 have been so sweet. So fantastic. I used to tell her when she got to be 40, I was going to trade her in on 220s. I'm sorry, young girls, but they're not a 20 I'd have right now. I'm thankful for my 40-year-old. Oh, I tell you what, I praise God. You see, God is a missing element everywhere you want to go. Whatever it is, God makes the difference. And though you see an impossibility sitting before you, you don't see how God can ever do it. You don't see how you can ever do it. You don't see how it can be done. God can do it. God can do it. I don't care what it might be. You don't see how revival can come, but revival can come. You don't see how God could give any more money out of this little congregation. God could make the congregation smaller and give twice as much. Now you say, "Now, Brother Kincaid." No, that's true. That is absolutely true. God could diminish us and increase us. God has the ability to do beyond anything you ever thought of doing. You say, "Well, I can't witness anymore. I've lost my fizz and vinegar. I've lost whatever there is. I've lost the power of the Spirit. I'm discouraged. I'm whipped. I'm bitter. I'm back." God can. You can be revived. Rick, you can get on your knees and get a hold of God, and God can do a work in your life. Justin the same way. Paul the same way. And everybody sitting here. There is a world of possibility in every person that's here today. An absolute infinite world of possibility within your life if it was given to God. The only problem is it's not given to God. Now the chances are that most of you are going to forget everything I said when you leave here today. Chances most of you are going to go home and watch Dallas, and by the time Dallas is over, this sermon is going to be completely erased. Wipe it clean. Sort of like the kids, you know, when they come back to school after being gone all summer. Seems like their mind's been wiped clean. Don't remember a thing they had last year. But it's just one or two or three
seek God with all their heart every day for the next year.
There is no imagining what God could do for you. Little mother, little housewife, not much money, what could God do?
Oh, you don't know what God could do. You just don't know what God could do. Our only need, brother and sister, is to get right with God. I tell you, the one thing missing in every life, the one thing missing in every home, the one thing missing in every sermon, the one thing missing in every testimony is God and His power. And until we come to the place to know that we need God more than anything else that ever was, and the only thing that we need is God, then we'll walk on in our merry little old lane. In defeat, in failure, in sin, bruised, broken, stepped on by the devil. Life after life, we go out and talk to Brother Schreiner and I, visited home after home these last months. We've talked to people. Oh, if they only knew. We left one day. As we left, Brother Schreiner said, if that lady just knew, if she just knew who she was talking to and what she could have had. Just knew. If you just knew what God could and would do to you, if you'd but seek Him. I'll tell you, your need's God. Your need's not to walk down an aisle this morning. Your need's to get on your knees every day for the rest of your life with as much determination and grit and passion and drive as you've ever had in your life. And get a hold of God in the morning and don't turn Him loose till night. And get a hold of God at night and get a hold of God every day of the week. I'm not talking about just preachers. I'm talking about mothers and mechanics and housewives and whoever, school kids. Get out and get busy with God and get a hold of God till you walk with Him through the day. I met God in the morning when my day was at its best. His presence came like sunrise, like a glory in my breast. All day long the presence lingered. All day long He walked with me. He sailed with me. We sailed in perfect calmness o'er a very troubled sea. So I think I know the secret learned from many a troubled way. You must seek Him in the morning if you want Him through the day. God, that's your answer. You don't need anything else. Everything else is superfluous. Everything else is secondary. Everything else is not needed. But the one thing you need, and every single one of you needs, is to get a hold of God. To get a hold of God. You need the strength of God's Spirit in your inner man. That's what you need. You don't need a lot of other things you think you need. You don't need a lot of things other people tell you you need. There's one thing you need, and that's to get your directions from God. As a young preacher, I went and followed Brother Don Welburn. We were good friends years ago. He left a good church by the name of Hassie. He went to another one. He recommended me there, and I followed him there and pastored there, but it's the wrong place for me to go. I should never go. Didn't really pray about it. You know, there's some things you don't pray about. 3 months' time, the church had grown. Didn't have any problems, except in here. God let me go. They called me. They were happy to have me. I was happy to get the place. Miserable, miserable, miserable. 3 months later, on a Sunday morning, I got up and I said, my dear friends, I want to tell you something. I stepped out of the will of God when I came to this place. You have my resignation today, and I'm not coming. All the deacons followed me down 35 miles to my house and came on in, and they sat there and they said, what's the matter? What have we done? What do you want us to do? You want more money? You want us to go visiting with you more? You want this? You want? I said, no, you don't understand. Well, we don't understand. Why are you leaving us? We like you, you like us. Why are you leaving us? I said, because God didn't send me there. I'm sure God's got the right man for there, but it wasn't me. God put me on the shelf for 6 months after that. Nobody wanted to hear me preach.
Nobody gave me a chance to preach. Next time somebody called me, I said, well, I'll pray about it. I went home and prayed about it. You know, I've never been to a place since I didn't pray about it. No, God wanted me to go there. I went to Guatemala. I had a lot of friends tell me, you're crazy. You're out of God's will. Had my own pastor tell me, you'll never get there. I was there in 4 months. I never missed a meal. I never made a bad day. I never had a checkbox. Because God told me to go. See, my pastor didn't tell me when to go. He didn't tell me where to go. He didn't tell me he'd take care of my needs. He never did. He never did. If I'd been looking for him to supply my needs, Billy, I'd have been shot a long time back. But I wasn't looking to him to supply my needs. God's the one that called me out of that meeting and said, I want you to go. God's the one, after 6 weeks of prayer, told me where to go and how to go. And when I could go, I didn't have to worry about what my dad said. My dad and mother scared to death. Miss Bell cried on my shoulders to take care of my daughter. But you see, they didn't see what I saw. They hadn't gone through what I was going through. They hadn't had the experience I had. God hadn't told them. He just told me. What you need is in your inner man to be so strengthened by God Almighty that you know His will. And you can get about it and do it. That God might grant you that He's strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Just a few verses over. A couple of pages. You then be risen with Christ. Seek those things that you're above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Seek them! Let me tell you something today. How about you sit around waiting for God to knock you on the head and do something with you? You better get out and seek. The Bible says seek. Take your little concordance and run that word seek. You think, well, I'm going to sit here and if God wants me to do anything, well, He knows where I am. He can come get me. Oh, pip, pip, pip. God knows where you are. Do you know where God is? God knows where you are. Do you know where God is? God knows what He wants out of your life and what He can do through your life. Do you know what God wants out of your life and what He can do through your life? He said, you will find me when you seek for me with all your heart. One reason why there's no revival in your life and one reason why you haven't had the victory you ought to have is you've been seeking everything else but God. You need to get on your knees and seek God. Seek those things above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. There's not a thing wrong with going fishing. There's not a thing wrong with watching television. I don't think there's a thing wrong with sitting down to a big meal and just stuffing on Thanksgiving. As Brother Don Dowdall says, that if you don't go to the hospital, it's not a thing. So if you didn't go to the hospital, you didn't make glutton out of yourself. I haven't been a glutton ever. I never have to go to the hospital for eating too much. And I didn't even have two Thanksgivings like Lenny's did. I know they ate too much. What's wrong then? If it's not these things, then we can sit up and fight these things as a young preacher. I fought them all. I fought cigarettes and sharks and television and movies and everything. Anything that was, I was against it. If it could be fought, I'd fight it. If there wasn't a fight, I'd make one. I'd tackle Hershey bars. Whatever. And I think you ought to have some convictions. You ought to stand against some things. You ever going to make a preacher worth shooting, you got to have some backbone. Even against your best friends. But you see, the big problem is not these things. It's the central thing. It's God. You need God in your life like you need blood, man. You need God within your spiritual life like you need nothing else. You need it more than you need the very food of your body. You need Him more than you need money. You need to go home this week and get revived. You need to get on your knees and pray till God rains righteousness upon your soul. You need to get up every morning and every noon and every night and cry unto the Lord God Almighty till He takes away your coldness. Till He takes away your sin. Till He breaks your heart. Till you on your knees cry to God and God moves upon you and you see revival in your soul. That's what you need. Oh, that's what you need. If you ever get what you need, that's exactly what you're going to have to do. You may get anything else you want, everything else you desire, but if you miss that one thing, my friend, you missed it all. You lost the game. You missed the whole thing.
need to set your affection on things above and seek those things where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God Almighty. Now, there's a verse in Hebrews, very familiar to all of us, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder. Did you hear that? He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God, help us to wake up. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Have you been seeking? No, no. The chances are you haven't been seeking. Oh, you may have been praying. You may have been reading your Bible, but have you been seeking Him? Has it been the desire of your life? Have you been burnt? Or have you just been going through the motions of life and dropping in on services ever so often and dropping in on your Bible? Or have you been seeking Him? That's what you need. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Oh, I tell you, my dear brother and my dear sister, God is a rewarder. God is a rewarder. I laughed when I said I'm a rich man, but I am. I am. My bank account's overdrawn. But I'm a rich man. I'm a rich man. You see, He said, be content with what you have, for He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God is my home. I have eternal wealth that's beyond my wildest dreams. Someday my sister and I may split up a little pecan orchard in Lampasas River. Or one of us may buy the other one out. Whatever. If my mother dies before the rapture. Which I doubt. But I know families that split up and fuss and fight over who gets a certain cup. And who gets a certain rocking chair. And who gets Grandpa's watch. Or Grandma's lace doilies. And they have hurt feelings and fight for years. They don't amount to a hill of beans. I tell you what amounts to something. There is an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be with the last time. Praise God! There is an inheritance. I'm the son of a rich man. But you know, I don't have to wait for all of it there. I don't have to wait for all of it till I get there. God's got a lot He wants to get me right here. God's got a lot He wants to give you right here. God is your source. God is your only source. God is what's missing. He's the missing element in every life. You see, He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Why don't you seek Him and see if He'll reward you? One verse, with this verse I'll close. Isaiah 55:6. Isaiah 55:6. Turn to it. How long has it been since you read it? How long has it been since you've done it? Jesus said, what seek ye? What seek ye? Isaiah says, seek ye the Lord. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Seek you the Lord. Best advice I could give to you, my dear saved brother or sister, is seek the Lord. You say, but I'm walking in fellowship with God, seek Him more. You say, well, I'm cold and backslidden when I pray. It doesn't do any good. I can't seem to pray. Keep on seeking. Keep on seeking. Well, work at it a little bit harder. Cry a little bit longer. Get on your knees and get in earnest. Seek the Lord. While He may be found, but He may be found today. He may be found of you, my friend. He may be found of you today. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's not willing that one child that He has should ever walk in disobedience. God is not willing that one lost soul should ever go out to eternity without Jesus Christ. He's not willing that any Why don't you seek Him? When do you find Him? When you mean business. When you mean business. You shall find me when you seek for me with all your heart. Christian friend, will you be revived? Will God do a work through you? Will God give you the desire of your heart? Will God give you that power that you want, the money that you want, the strength in the inner man, the victory, the walk with God, the home, the children? He will if you seek Him. He will if you seek Him. If you seek God with all your heart, God will satisfy the very desires of your heart and give you a greater joy than you ever knew was possible for any man to have. If you seek Him. What about you, my lost friend? You say, well, I'm waiting for God to knock me on the head. But you'll keep on waiting. If He knocks you on your head, you'll be one of the few. You see, God speaks by a still small voice with an invitation that says, come. And the Spirit says, come. And the bride says, come. Let him that hears say, come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. I say to you today, my friend, some of you, I hear it backslidden, and you need to get on your knees and seek God. Some of you here, and you're just plain cold and indifferent, critical, sad, miserable. And you need to get on your knees and seek God. Some of you here today, and you're lost. You walked out those doors and stumbled, hit your head on the rock, went out to meet God, you go to hell. You're here and you're lost. The answer to every problem is God. Oh, how you need Him. How you need Him today. I speak to you especially, my dear lost brother, my sister, my friend. As I speak to you, I want you to know God wants to save your soul. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, and He came to do it. He made a sacrifice that is acceptable to God Almighty in heaven for eternal righteousness. He died.